Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Are you blessed this morning?
Yes.
If you haven't heard the news, Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave for you. Amen. If you're not aware that we have freedom in the Lord, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Freedom.
So this morning, let's celebrate our freedom in Christ. We're not bound by the chains of sin anymore. We're not defeated. We have hope, and we put that hope in Jesus Christ. So let our worship reflect that. Let our praise reflect that. And let's reflect the freedom we have, because the Holy Spirit's here with us. Now let's invite him to lead us this morning. Amen. Let's invite him to lead our worship and lead the teaching of the word in every part of this service. So let's worship the Lord in the freedom of his Spirit. Lord, let that be the cry of our heart this morning, that we surrender all to you. There's nothing we are holding on to. There's nothing we're putting before you. Lord, there is no question of our devotion, Lord, to you, because there's no question of your devotion to us. Lord, as you lay down your life, as you laid it for a sacrifice, as you surrendered all for us, Lord, let us do the same for you, where we lay down all of our passion, all of our desires, all of our goals for self, and pick up you, Lord, and your identity and your purpose for our life, and follow you. Lord, let us deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you this morning. As we move forward closer to you, the more of myself I lose and the more of you I gain. Until one day, Lord, there's nothing left of me. There's only you in me. And Lord, what you began in us, you will complete until that day. Lord, strengthen us in this moment. Lord, give us hope, Lord, and let us understand your grace abounds where sin abounds. Lord, let us understand we are completely forgiven and set free now to follow you. Lord, bless everyone here this morning. Lord, and let us learn and grow in you, in your precious name, amen and amen.
Good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. So quick announcements before I go into my devotional this morning. So next week is our family fun day, so we hope you join us. We'll have lunch provided, bounce houses for the kids, and then Frio's popsicles are going to be here as well for a little sweet treat. So please join us next week. All right. Yeah. Could I have the pulpit, sir? Thank you so much. Thank you. All right, church. So if you've lived long enough, you've probably been disappointed by somebody. Sometimes it's a stranger, and those ones are easier to forget about, right? But the deepest hurts usually come from people we trusted. Betrayal hurts because it comes from someone close to our heart, close to our mind, that knows us personally. That's why Jesus wasn't betrayed by a Roman soldier or a Pharisee. He was betrayed by one of his own disciples. Talk about knife to the back, right? I'm going to say it again. Jesus was betrayed by one of his own disciples. Here's the good news. People may let you down, but God never will. You can't stop people from disappointing you, but you can choose not to let their actions define your future. Somebody once said, and I struggle with this, you can ask my husband, I'm trying to get better. But somebody once said to me, I love everybody, but I keep the receipts, right? I forgive you, but I will never forget what you did to me, right? That's not what God called you to do. God didn't ask you and tell you to keep score, right? And I trust me, I know, it is hard. I still struggle with this to this day. He called us to keep trusting him. So don't spend your life asking, why did they do this to me? Why is this happening to me? Why? Instead, change your mindset to, Lord, what are you teaching me through this? What can I learn from this from you? Sometimes God allows people to walk away because they can't go where he's taking you. Every closed door isn't a punishment. Sometimes it's God's protection. So if you've been betrayed, don't let your heart become hard. Stay kind, stay faithful, stay close to God. Because here's what I've learned. The people who hurt you don't get to decide the ending of your story. God does. So leave the hurt with him. Keep walking by faith. And remember that God's plans for your life are always greater than the disappointments you have faced. It has been a struggle bus for me the past 3 weeks. And I'm still trying to practice this to this day. I know it's hard, but God is bigger than these disappointments. And I know he can make anything happen in your life. So let's pray. Father, thank you for being faithful when people are not. Help us release every hurt into your hands. Fill our hearts with forgiveness, strengthen our faith, and remind us that you are writing a story that is bigger than our pain. We love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. A special thank you to Morgan, our children's pastor, who does great. Thank you for that word this morning. As we continue our worship, we're going to continue our worship in our giving. And give unto the Lord, into his house, because everything we do with a passion and a purpose for the kingdom of God, not our own desires, or not our own wants. So everything we give, we're giving into the kingdom of God for a passion and for a purpose, because this is the house of God. And we want to see the house of God blessed. And when we bless the house of God, then we know God is faithful and just to do even more than we could ever imagine. So in our giving, you can text your giving. You can scan that QR code on the back of your seat. You can tap that little thingy. I don't know what that is called. A little thing you tap. You tap it, and all of a sudden, things pop up, and you get to do the thing you want to do, right? Yes, tap app. Yes, that's what it is. Or you can give old-fashionedly. You can give dollars and checks to our box out there. But everything you give, we're so appreciative of the things you give. Are you blessed this morning? So let's get up this morning and let's welcome someone to the house of the Lord this morning. Amen? Let them know it's great to see them. Hug someone, shake someone's hand. Let them know it's great to see them in the house of the Lord. Well, it's great to be in the house of the Lord. It's great to have you in the house of the Lord. I truly hope you feel loved, welcome, and accepted in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because this is a church family, amen? We can be ourselves, we can love each other, and we can let down our guard for we're not going to judge each other, we're going to love each other as Christ has loved us. So this morning, as we continue our series, Freedom in Christ, I want to ask the question, who are we? What is our identity? What is our purpose in this life? This question has been asked from generation to generation. Who are we? What is our purpose? What are we called to do? And we're all searching for that, amen? We're all searching to be accepted. We're all searching to be loved. We're all searching to feel to be a part of something. And the great thing about this Bible, it tells us exactly where that love and acceptance comes from. It comes from God expressed through Jesus Christ, given his life for us and given us the Holy Spirit to navigate through this life. So this morning, I want to look at who we are in Christ and what the scripture says. How do we find that life and how do we keep moving forward? So I would like to start with a quote this morning by C.S. Lewis. He says, "The more we let God take us over, the more truly ourselves we become, because he made us." It's such a great quote, and it gives us a perspective. The more of ourselves we give God, the more he fills us. The more he fills us, the more we understand who we are. The more we are filled, the more complete we have, more peace we have, all these things we have that settles us down in this chaotic world that allows us to know the peace of God, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to give that same peace to those around us. Wouldn't it be great if we were immune for all the ups and downs of this world? One day, everything's great. The next day, everything's bad. You know, one day you think you have a grasp on things, the next day everything falls apart. Wouldn't we like to walk a path that is free from those extreme highs and extreme lows, where we're not constantly searching for purpose? We're not trying to invent purpose or seek purpose, but that purpose is found in a relationship, and that purpose is found in the relationship of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want to look at the scriptures that tells us how to find this peace, this love, this acceptance that can only be found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So let's go to Matthew 10, verse 39. Are you with me this morning? I love challenging scripture. So we have a lot of challenging scriptures this morning, but we're going to dive into and look at it. Because if we just read this on the surface, it's really hard for it to make sense. Jesus says, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, this is naturally kind of contradicts. It's kind of a contradictory statement. What do you mean, lose life and then find life? What does that mean? But we have to look at how Jesus defined life in the scripture. So let's go to the Greek and let's see what he is saying. The word life, psyche, he says, he is speaking not merely of physical life, but the whole self, your identity, ambitions, desires, and independent way of living. That's what Jesus is saying when he talks about life. So let's substitute this definition in there. He said, he who finds his life, your identity, ambitions, desires, an independent way of living will lose it. But he who loses their identity, ambitions, desires, an independent way of living for his sake will find it. This is what we battle. This is my greatest battle with the Lord is control. Amen. We all want control. I want to know what the next step is before I have to take the next step. But faith says to trust the character of God. The world says to know exactly what you're getting into. And God says, trust me. The world says, look for comfort. Look for the easiest path. God says, let's go in the valley. Let's go where it's tough. And I will reveal myself to you there. Amen. It is letting go and then receiving. It's letting go of control, letting go of those things. It's letting go of our identity, ambitions, desires, an independent way of living to find life and purpose in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You know, I told you months ago that I'm always interested to see how this scripture is constantly being confirmed to me in my walk with the Lord. And Paul's saying here, I have been crucified with Christ, this personal experience. It's no longer I who live. See, that's an odd statement to make. But when we look at what Paul is saying, he's following the words of Christ. He's saying, I've let go of identity, ambitions, desires, and living independent from God. And it's no longer I, Saul, who lives, but it's Paul who lives in Christ, and the life I'm seeking, I live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, faith is this kind of tricky thing, isn't it? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So by nature, faith goes against our human nature of wanting to see it, wanting to understand it. But we're called to live by faith. We're saved by faith, right? Everything we do with God is by faith. And faith in the moment, in that situation, before God comes through, you are standing vulnerable. If it goes one way, you'll be destroyed. And it's putting everything you have in God in that moment and trusting him beyond yourself. Just think of the children of Israel as they were going through the desert and they came to the Red Sea. They had the biggest army in the world coming down on them. And they get to the Red Sea, and it's a huge sea. And I'm sure, and the scripture says they were hemmed in by the mountains. There was no way of escape. Their certain death was to come. And I'm sure they were thinking, God led us out, did all these miracles, all these signs, so now we're going to die here. Our families are going to die. Our children are going to die. What are we going to do, Moses? But God had a plan. He struck the sea, and the sea parted. And if you study where it parted, there is a plateau in that part of the sea that it's nowhere else, hundreds of miles, there's nowhere else, but there is this elevated part where they walked through. And God had this pillar of fire that was separating them from the army of Pharaoh. And then when they crossed, they turned around, and as the army pursued, the sea swallowed them up, and the biggest army of the biggest nation disappeared in a second. But we'll never know that if we don't step out. Amen? See, when Peter stepped out of the boat, he knew God in two ways. He stepped out of the boat and he was walking on water. He was doing something he couldn't do before. So there is strength. There was a faith. He was doing something that he physically could not do. But he took his eyes off and he began to sink. And he saw another quality of Christ, of him pulling him up and saving him in that situation. So there's two elements that Peter discovered of the Lord. One is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And the second thing is, when I take my eyes off him and I fall and the waves are coming over my head, I feel like I'm going to drown, he pulls me up. And Peter would have never known that unless he wouldn't have stepped out of the boat. So church, this morning, let's step out of the boat and let's see where the Lord leads. Amen? Let's go to Matthew 16, verses 24 and 27. Now, I was going through my notes this morning, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get through all this morning. So there may be a part two next week. So that gives you more incentive to come back next week, amen? Unless you want to be here for an extra hour and a half. No, okay. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let's stop right there. We've all heard this. I've taught this before. We've went over this. But I want to go deeper into this and put it in the context of losing our life for his sake. So when he says, if anyone desires to come after me, I don't know about you, but I want to follow Christ. Amen? Where he's going, I want to be. Where he's at, that's where I want to be. Okay, he's the author and the finisher of my salvation. He loves me so much, I want to be where he is at. So the word deny means to decisively renounce self-rule in order to follow Christ's lordship. So it's laying down my way and picking up his way. You know, it's like that song, I did it my way. You know, we're not called to live that way, right? We're called to live his way. Why? His way is better. Why? We sing about it. It's in the word. His way is better. If he's God, he's infinite. He never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. He can't forget anything. He can't be evil. He can't lie to us. He's perfect in every way. He literally created the complexity of this human body, the mind, and how it works. Anyone who has studied the human body and the different elements of the human body, you realize it's such a miracle, and he created it out of the dirt. Then he saw Adam and said, you know what? It's not good for man to be alone. He put Adam to sleep, pulled out a rib, and created Eve, the perfect complement to the man. And they complement each other. He did all that just like that. He spoke, and things were created. He hung the stars by his words. He separated the land and the sea. You know, we were on the beach the other day, and I was looking out on the sea, and I realized the water comes to the beach, and then it comes in, then it goes back over and over again. And I was telling our son Dax, I said, look at that. Look how the water comes into the beach and then recedes. It does that because God commanded it to do so. Amen. Every morning you wake up, the sun is coming. And there is a day that God has created just for you. Today is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. There's beauty in every moment of life. There's beauty in his creation. And everything he did was to give you joy. To give you love. To give you purpose. So when he calls us to deny self, it is that part that is always at war with God. That wants to be in control. That wants to say, no, I'm going to do it my way. But we lay down that self and we take up our cross and we follow him. That cross is a reminder to us and a tool that Jesus is always with us. That he loves us and he's never forsaken us, never will forsake us. And we follow him because where he is, that's where the center of everything is. So I want to be where he is. Now I was thinking, you know, if I was in the time of the Bible and Jesus healed me and he said, go and be blessed. I'd be like, I ain't going nowhere. Wherever you're going, I'm going. Because you have something I need. That should be the cry of our hearts. It's to follow him. Take up our cross. Deny the self. And follow him. Because we're married to him. You know, marriage is a beautiful resemblance of our relationship with the Lord because two people are becoming one for the purpose of not the individual, but for that covenant of marriage. So they're denying self. They're moving forward and building a life out of scratch. And that is exactly what the Lord's called us to do, is to partner with him in this covenant of salvation, to deny ourselves and to leave everything behind so he can build himself in us, that we can be at peace and that we can help be a part of a kingdom that has no end. Are we willing to do that, church? Is that our desire? These words may seem tough, but all it takes is, as Jesus said, a little bit of faith, a little bit of obedience, and we can follow him. Verse 25, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, echoing what he said before. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's so profound. And this is what hits me upside the head all the time. The scripture says that Jesus is a stumbling block. And I found this to be true in my walk with the Lord. Because there's times, well, I would say, not as much as before, that I want to do it my way. I want things to go how I planned. And this is the way I'm going to do it. And I start going that way and I trip and I fall. And I'm like, Lord, why did you do that? But it's oftentimes is what the Lord doesn't give us is the greatest gift. Because we want to give ourselves everything. But the Lord is slowing us down and making us go on his path. Because what would it profit us if we gained everything we wanted, but yet lost our soul? Because Jesus came to redeem our soul, to redeem us back to himself for a kingdom that cannot be seen, but it's already here, but not yet fully here. He's come to prepare us to live with the Father forever and ever in harmony and peace in a kingdom that's ever expanding and for a God that is perfect in every way. Oftentimes, God's no's are the greatest blessing. You know, I still do. You know, I try to plan things out. And then I'm praying. And I'm thinking things are going to happen my way. And then my wife comes along and says, oh, I prayed about that. The Lord says, it's not going to happen. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So you got to be kidding me. Or there was other times where I'm praying, you know, asking my father to pray, and I say, pray for this. And he says, the Lord said, it's not going to happen. You got to be kidding me, God. Where's those false prophets in the Old Testament that just tell you what you want to hear? Bring me some of them, you know. No, it is oftentimes in our surrender, in our giving up, is where we find the peace and glory in God's plan. He doesn't want you stressing over the next promotion, the next thing. He doesn't want you stressing over any part of your life. He wants you to completely surrender. And you may say, well, life hasn't gone the way I planned. I promise you, church, none of us here, life has gone the way we've planned. You know? I'm still not pastoring that church on the beach where shoes are optional, you know? And I've applied to a church that its name was Church on the Beach. They said no. We all want things that will make us happy or comfortable, but God is offering something deeper and eternal. And oftentimes it comes in a package that we're not wanting, but when we open it up and embrace it, it will give us a peace and something that this world cannot give us. Verse 27 said, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, then he will reward each according to his works. My prayer is that we all will be rewarded for our obedience in him. So let's go further to understand this denying of self. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. As always, I ask you to go back and study all the scriptures around these things I'm giving you so you can get the full context of this word. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. The word seek means intentionally, continually, and passionately pursue something of supreme value until it is found possessed. So we should seek those things that are not on this earth, not on this plane, but here. Here. And it's this word. I open up this word and it transforms me. I open up this Bible. It's alive. It's speaking to me. And it's telling me the love of the Father. It's telling me the will of the Father. It's telling me everything I'm searching for in this world that I can't find the answer to is right here. Are we intentionally, continually, and passionately pursuing God and his word and the value of who we are in him until we find it possessed in our hands? And we're putting it in our hearts and we're living it out. Paul goes on to say, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth. You know, it's very hard when you're going through trial and tribulation not to be in the moment and discouraged when you didn't get that promotion, when you're battling health issues, when you're battling financial issues, when things are going crazy. It's easy to be in that moment and say, this is who I am, this is my life, and you lose all hope and perspective. But in that moment, we're supposed to set our minds on the things above us, beyond us, and measure every trial and tribulation in the light of eternity. You know, that's why Peter talks about this light affliction that's only for a moment. And I know there's some of you here this morning have known pain and suffering longer than a moment, for years. Hurt, pain, emotional, physical, whatever it may be. But that does not define you or your journey in life. When we measure everything in the light of eternity, we see beyond the moment and we see a glimpse of where we're going. You know, David, when he was running from Saul, And he ran for Saul for 7 years. 7 years he was on the run. He could have killed Saul, but he didn't. It would be easy for David to have given up and said, yeah, God made a mistake. Samuel made a mistake. I'm not meant to be the next king. If he would, and if we put ourselves just in the moment without the glimpse of eternity in front of us, we lose sight. What God was doing with David, he is preparing him to be king. And God is preparing us for something greater than we can see in this moment. He wants to bless you now, and he's going to bless you in the time to come. But those blessings often come in packages we don't want to receive, in the form of hurt, heartache, betrayal. But God turns it for our good, and we see the Lord in a different light. And we see his mercy and love through our sufferings. Paul goes on to say, for you died. We died with Christ. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. See, I've always looked at the scripture and said, what does it mean to be hidden? Because it's not obvious, right? If it's hidden, we have to search for it. If it's hidden, it's not going to be obvious. So there is this life we've been given that is hidden. It's hidden with Christ in God. The purpose of who we are is in Christ. Our identity is in Christ. Everything we are is in Christ. And if we seek him and we put ourselves and we mold ourselves to him and we infuse ourselves with his spirit, then we begin to see something we couldn't see before. A whole different way of seeing life that we could not comprehend while we were still blind to the spiritual elements. That's why Jesus said we have to be born again in order to comprehend and see the kingdom of God. But we have this great life that's often hidden under hurt, heartache, and pain. Disappointment. Things didn't go the way we wanted it to go. So I know I'm not the only one who's been disappointed, amen? All of us here have a list of disappointments. But guess what? In that disappointment, in your discouragement, what you're looking for is hidden in Christ. And when we put our focus on him, then it comes to light. When we stop pursuing the thing we want, the Lord gives it to us. You know, there's been so many lessons I've learned in my walk with the Lord and so many lessons to learn. One of the greatest lessons I've learned is that what I'm pursuing and forsaking all else for, it may be God's will for me to have that, but if I'm forsaking all else and I'm just so focused on that goal, I'm never achieving it. I'm falling short. But the moment I say, all right, Lord, if it's your will for me to have it, if it's not, I'm at peace with it. What your will be done. Then all of a sudden, it happens like that. It is because we're shifting our focus from effort to him. What I can do to what he did. To what I can bring about to what he promised. So I'm going to say, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen? One of my great passions for you as your pastor is that you feel the love of the Lord. You feel his acceptance and you feel his mercy and you feel his love. Even in great disappointment in life, which we all have, amen, there is another chapter to be written. And if we take his word seriously, that God is going to do what he promised in his word to do, then we live this life differently. You know, I used to think I had to act a certain way, dress a certain way to be a pastor, to be used of God. I thought I had to go to the right seminaries, say the right things, know the right people, and I've done none of that. But here I am. Because the Lord keeps providing, he keeps doing it. And when I realized I cannot put on Saul's armor to go fight my Goliath, I just have to trust the Lord. That's when we fully grasp and understand the beauty of our salvation. He's already clothed you in righteousness. He's already given you the ability and skills. He's already with you. Just step out from your comfort and follow him. We will all face our Goliaths. We will all have to go to the mountain. We will all face the valley. But we will all know what it's like to have victory in Christ if we keep enduring, keep moving forward, and put who we are in Christ Jesus. Church, I pray that you experience that this morning and today, that you are loved, welcome, and accepted in Christ Jesus. He's opened his heart to you, and if we will receive the invitation, he'll give us everything we need to live a life above and beyond we could ever do for ourselves. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, heal the brokenhearted. Lord, heal us in our disappointment. Lord, heal us as we're searching for different identities, Lord, and we're trying and striving to improve our lives, yet to be frustrated and fall as Peter, sink under the waves of disappointment and fear and anxiety. But Lord, you pulled Peter out of that and put him right back where he was. Lord, pull us out. Sometimes we just need to be pulled out of our despair, out of our anxiety, and out of our worry, and step into the light of who you are. Lord, this morning, Lord, I pray, Lord, everyone here feels your love. The love that fuels us, the love of acceptance, the love that goes beyond our doubts in the shadow, in the darkness of the unknown. You are the light, and you said when you are gone, we are the light because you shine through us. Lord, we are here this morning because we desire more of you. We desire to know you more. Lord, we take that first step. The first step of stepping beyond our own strength, our own understanding, and to find you. Lord, bless us in our pursuit, Lord, and bless us in every point of our lives. In your precious name, amen. Church, our perfection does not come from ourselves. I haven't figured it all out. We're on this journey together, but as we go together, the Lord reveals himself more and more. And we see our purpose, we see our identity, and we see the capacity of how much God loves us, and then we can love each other in the same way. If this was your first time, I hope you truly felt loved, welcome, and accepted in Christ. If this is your millionth time, which is not mathematically possible, but let's just say it, I hope you feel loved, welcome, and accepted in Christ Jesus. We're a church family. So if this is your first time to come, you have to come back. We know who you are. We know where you live. We will send a van, and we will get you. Church, we're our church family. God has a purpose for us, and God has a purpose for you. So we just want to partner with you on your journey with the Lord. It was great to see you. Come back next Sunday as we continue our journey through the Word of God. Have a blessed week. Sundays are better together and the better with you. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.